Well, can you believe it? We're six episodes in. Old Bull, Young Buck.
Six big ones.
Here we go. My name's David Mundy, and with me, as ever, is my lovable little co-host, the young Bull, Griffin Logue.
How are you, mate? Hi, Dave. Got through it in the end, mate. it's always a good wake-up call for you, just getting that done. But, mate, it's good to be here. Six through. That's what, I didn't think it'd last this long, to be honest.
Well, I look across the table and I just get lost in those dreamy eyes of yours, mate. Yeah. So apologies for that.
But six episodes in, I thought you would have retired by now, but surprised to see how far we're going to get through.
No, you haven't annoyed me too much just yet. So, I'm stoked to be here with you, mate. Now, you had a weekend off. A bit scared to get into Adelaide?
Weekend off, yeah. Border patrol after paying out the great state of South Australia. They didn't let me back in, but no, I had a bit of a calf niggle, but should be good to go. Fingers crossed, just get through and, excited for the weekend.
Yeah, well, they actually did have, the police were there, they had, have you seen this man? The big curly do.
The big mop on the shirt. But how's the game, mate? Obviously pretty disappointing, the result.
Yeah, very flat result. We didn't give ourselves a chance, really. We blew the game in the first quarter, which is extremely disappointing. We felt like we were well prepared for what Port Adelaide were going to try and bring and do to us, but knowing and being able to do something about it are two very different things.
So. It's a hot footy early, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're a good side. And at Adelaide Oval, they really have another team almost with their crowd, so they really get behind them. So, yeah, hugely disappointing result, but looking forward to getting back on the horse this week. So last week on our pod, we had Caleb Seba Sarong.
Yes.
He's a great chat. Yep. He's a nice young fella.
Bing Bong Sarong, good fella.
What'd you take out of that?
Two things. Loves his shoes, but I reckon it's just a cover for how much he loves feet. It could be a little foot fetish going on behind scenes, to be honest.
He jumped on that
bit,
real quick.
Bit creepy. He kind of shut it down way too quick for me to kind of just dismiss it and go, hang on, I reckon if I dug a bit more, I could have got a bit more out of him with his foot fetish. But each their own, especially little Seba. So he's going well. But I thought he was a good guest. Yeah,
he was a great guest. What I took out of it was his eating, his love of food. I'm actually surprised that he spoke so much about taste because, again, we were away together on the weekend and the way he attacked the buffet.
I just don't
think he can really taste how quickly he's eating.
He inhales it, genuinely inhales it. It's impressive how quick he gets it down. So, again, that's a cover for how much he just loves ingesting rather than the taste. But
absolutely. Now, while we're looking back on past weeks, we've actually had something has been sent in for you, Grip. You can open it if you like, but a member has sent in a little gift for you.
Right. Just be careful, Dave, if this is anything bad.
Give us a look. What's it say?
On the back, it's gone, great game, Griff. Love your show and podcast with Dave Mundy. Stay injury free. Keep going. P.S. Buddy is a beast from Ron DeLacy. and it's a nice pick of Buddy. Great game, Griff. Yes, we Buddy lost. So
hold it up for the camera so we can all see. Yeah, thank you, Ron. Ron's also did the painting for Nat, who was well publicised, was carrying it out of the club prior to our hub this year. But thank you, I'm sure. You'll treasure that one, mate.
Six goals. So, yeah, he probably deserves it more than a painting. But, yeah, good on him. Thanks for that, Ron. And another good game by Buddy on the weekend. Kick three. So
half what he kicked on you.
Half the amount he kicked on me. So, yeah, you could say that half as good.
You're just trying to help him get to 1,000 quicker. It's nice of you, mate.
History in the making. So I'm happy to be a part of it. And this is good publicity anyway. So any publicity is good. But anyway, enough of that. It's a special episode this week. I thought that every time we did a podcast with Dave, it's a blast from the past, but lucky enough, we get to one of the all-time legends of the club. We're in between two Sir Doug Nicholls rounds, so it'd be remiss of me not to bring in the great man, one of the designers of our jumper, Des Headland. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, boys. Barra, Griff.
No,
see you, boys.
Yeah,
well, and just just to follow up on the Buddy thing, mate, I was at a game with my son Carson, and he goes, "Oh, Dad, Buddy would kick 10 if it wasn't for Griff."
You
played well, just quietly.
Bit of positivity.
Six goals, but they got the win, so well done, mate.
That's all that matters. Four points at the end of the day.
Exactly right.
Would have been a different story if we got the loss, I reckon, but thanks for that. Anyway, mate, we're going to dive a bit deeper into your playing days and stuff like that, and what you used to get up to, and hopefully not too deep, but we've got to start with this awesome jumper. How'd it start? So you obviously collabed with Kevin
Binder,
and Michaela Morrison.
Yeah.
How did it all start? Did Freo give you a call up and that's...
Yeah, so Roger gave me a call and said, "Oh, look, firstly, do you want to design the jumper?" And I've gone, "Oh, I'd love to, but I'm not really a budding artist." And we know Roger is. He loves to do his artwork. And I said, look, I'd love to, and you know, I want to try and bring the family into it as well. So Kevin Biner is obviously my first cousin. His mother and my father are brother and sister, and he's done a few jumpers over the years, but also he's been an artist for a long time as well. He's got his shop at Yagan Square in the city, and that's his passion. That's his full-time employment, which is great. And then to have Michaela Morrison, our niece, to get involved too. He's obviously playing for the AFLW team wearing number 11, the almighty number. Yeah. Me and Dale Kickett used to wear, and it was just good to have her input there as well. So, and plus the AFLW women wear it next year as well, or this year when they play their next season. So, yeah, that's how it all started. And got my mind together. All I said was, okay, we called him KB. I said, KB, this is in my head. You to make it happen now, brother. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. It was all done virtually. So, he was fantastic. We sort of sat down with the family and sort of spoke about our history and where the connections all come from, and wanted to make sure we included everyone, my grandfather's side and my nana's side. And I hope we've done that, and I hope the family's proud of the jumper. And we got to see the away one on the weekend, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the home one this weekend.
Definitely, no doubt. So it is impressive how artists can actually do that. Be able to, you know, whatever you say, just get it down. But I reckon you take most of the credit for that. You know, if you said get it done, mate. you've got it up here. That's all that matters.
I got to give him credit when credit's due. He's done a fantastic job, and I can see it up there on the stool. And I've loved his artwork. Well, I've got to be biased, you know, but he's done well over the years, and it's just great to see him, you know, keep expanding his life and his business. And you know, he's only a couple years older than me, so we. He was a Aboriginal liaison officer at LaSalle College for a few years, and you know, art was his passion. He took the big risk of going into business on his own, and it's paid off, hopefully. So,
100%.
He's done a great job. You mentioned you went to him with a few ideas. What's the biggest Des Headland imprint on the jumper?
I think the back. I said, look, I want to put that silhouette of. You know, back in 03 or 04, I think it was, can't remember now. No, 03 it was. Seven of us players, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander players, in one game was a record at the time. And I think Freo broke that a few years later, only a couple of years ago. So, yeah, that was pretty special to have the seven boys running around. I just wanted to get that captured on there, but also do a bit of a story too about, teaching the wider community what Wadjimup, which is Rottnest, exactly what happened on the island through colonisation and so forth. And you know, it is a massive burial site over there, and it's a lot of unmarked graves. A lot of our community members and strong leaders within our community crossed WA from the Kimberley all the way down to Great Southern were taken away from communities to disrupt and break those communities and put on that island and never return back. So, it's definitely something that I wanted to put in there, and I hope people can read up on it and see what it is for, you know.
No, I'm definitely sure they will, for sure. You said they did just drop it off with him, kind of with the ideas, but it's a long process. How long did it actually kind of take to before you got the call and you've ended up with the masterpiece we've got there? But did it take a long time?
Over 3 months at least. So we I kept going to the shop once a week and revisiting to see where he's at. He's a busy man.
It's not just to walk in and say, off you go. This is what I want, mate. Whack there. And if you don't have that, then kin yourself.
Yeah, just going through Macca's, mate. And get big Macca and Coke, and we get it back in a couple of minutes. But, he's – those artists, they're different people, mate, as we all know. So, in a good way, so I should say. And just going back and forth. And Michaela adding her bit as well. And KB's always had it in his mind. This is how he wanted to sort of go with it, and with the chevrons as well, which was a great idea. Instead of having just the straight lines, he just with the clapsticks, just did the artwork instead, you know. And the number 7 boomerangs he's put in there, which was a bit of a special gesture about the old anchor, and plus it looks like number 11 up top as well. So
that doesn't say JL.
I thought it meant JL.
That's the first I've heard that. But well, you know what, we have to go with that.
So, I had a feeling that he kind of got in someone's ear and said, you know what, I reckon it's on me now, boys.
That's a good one. I actually like that. So it is a JL symbol.
Nice. Yeah.
Let's get the win this weekend for him, mate.
Yeah,
that'd be lovely. Yeah. How did coming from your thought bubble into a jumper and then seeing it in white on the weekend, clearly a poor performance by the group, but seeing it in an AFL game and then hopefully the purple this week, how does that make you feel?
Oh, it's special. Absolutely. It's to see that you were part of something and a bit of an artwork, and to see it out there on the big stage. It was good to see. It's just pity about the result, but you know, and Barrow, I'm a bit of a family man. So as long as the family get to have pride in the story and get to see, you know, all three of us that designed it, a lot have come to the shop and bought the maroon ones all last week and still this week, and really looking forward to seeing it live for the first time on Sunday as well. And more importantly, I'm sure his boys are going to upset the Bulldogs, hopefully. So.
Absolutely. Upset? Won't be an upset.
Absolutely, mate. We'll be trying to get the win for you for sure. So that's thanks good. Again. It's awesome.
And so we'll just wind the clock back a little bit now. Does he talk about your playing career? 12 years in the AFL system, all started in 1998, number one draft pick. Do you want to talk us through years preceding that, leading up to that draft?
I was born in 1998. Yeah. On a side note, crikey.
Yeah, mate.
Fossils.
Make us feel old, don't you? Yeah, look, obviously, like most of the news boys as well, you know, you grow up, I grew up in a country town, Meriden, moved to Perth when I was 11, nearly 12, and, you know, in the Karen up, and that's where the Subiaco zone sort of got into. I should have been West Perth, just quietly. Grew up in the wheat belt. Yeah, there was a bit of controversial there, but my old man's a massive Subiaco supporter. So as soon as he found out Subi was the zone of Karen up, well, then that was all over. yeah, and look, you know, just always wanted to play footy. That was, you know, that was. And it wasn't until you about 14, 15, 16 till you realise, oh, I might be not bad at this, you know, when you start making the state teams and, you know, getting invited to all Australian camps and so forth. And yeah, look, I was lucky enough, mate, 98 or 97 played league footy for Subi, 98 as well. And then got drafted as a 17-year-old all the way to Queensland as the number one draft pick. And, you know, JL went number two to Freo, meaning born the same year. I think we're both on the same day. Well, he's the 20th, or on the 21st. We're pretty close to, it's pretty similarity. He grew up in a country town down not far from where I grew up as well. So he played for West Perth, but I didn't, thank God. Yeah, so look, and that, you know, that was, you know, leading up, as you know, just to be drafted and your name called out. And it was, had the draft as well, the documentary within that for a couple of years leading up to the draft camp as well, and you know, with Adam Ramanauskas and Brendan Favola. So that was a good insight of young kids that moving forward after that, what it looks like to, you know, with that process moving, you know, over the year journey from state 18s into the draft camp and then to getting drafted to the club was, yeah, look back at it now, how young I was, but and how naive as well and probably immature at times and a young kid and moved all the way to Queensland and, yeah, the rest is history, really. So
what was your draft year like? Like we know now, they've got the academies and they're playing the games throughout the year now. They don't have the round robin game week anymore. What was your draft year like in terms of a WA rep side?
No, you just played your state 18s carnival and then went back and played for your local club, so Subiaco, yeah. And went to the draft camp at the end of the year, and then hopefully everyone tested all right. And
must have impressed, yeah.
You get invited to the draft day to Melbourne and your name gets called out and you have a chat on TV and back home you go and 2 weeks later you're back in Queensland or wherever state you're
straight up you go. So you and Jay were born in the same year. You would have been a similar build, wouldn't you, in your draft year?
I was skinny. Jay hasn't changed, actually. No. So yeah. I think the grey hair was there too. But yeah, no, he was a ripper, JL. So we used to muck around, like, you know, we both wanted to stay home. I was like, mate, you go number one to Brisbane, I'll number two to Freo, you know. Yeah. And then it worked out. We both played for the club for a few years, which is great.
And so being the first of now two Indigenous number one picks, moving up to Brisbane and leading into a fairly successful era for that football club, what was that move like?
Yeah, it was like, it's a big move for any kid to move away from home. And but yeah, the Queensland, which was a non-footy state, rugby league and rugby union dominated. So in terms of being a number one draft pick and having that expectation, wasn't there, which was a good thing.
Great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, as you said, got to play in a great era at the Lions. And you know, 98, I got drafted, and then pre-season, 98, Lee Matthews, pre-season was his first pre-season as coach leading to 99 season. So me and Lee turned that club around just quietly into success from then on.
Nice work.
Yeah, nice work, bro. I knew you by that. But look, Lee was he was an amazing coach and greatest player of all time, but also one of the greatest coaches of all time. But he's a real people's person. You know what you expect with Lethal. If you know, not just Lethal, but the you know, Michael Voss as a captain as well. Simon Black as a midfielder and Nigel Lapp and Jason Ackermanis and
this goes on, doesn't
exactly
it?
Exactly, right. And then I moved up there. And,
Des Hedlund.
Yeah. Well, Majo Michael McLean is an absolute legend. Took me in as a second father, and he was assistant coach, one of only Aboriginal assistant coaches. Bit of a trailblazer back in those days, and that was fantastic. And along with Darryl White and Chris Johnson, who really all moved away from home to fulfil their dream. Most of the Queenslanders, Brisbane Lions players did. There was only a handful of Queenslanders playing in the club at the time. That's what made them so successful. A lot of players that come from different areas, and you had that family tight unit in a way. And the success showed, you know, from that. So yeah, I think back now after being retired over 10 years that I do pinch myself. I was, you know, got to play with some of those great players. And it's not until you really retire and later on in life that you get a bit older, you think, oh yeah, that was a good era.
Yeah, absolutely. And And you achieved the ultimate in 2002, winning the premiership with Brisbane. Yeah. What are your recollections of that day?
Yeah, no, that, well, look, that was a childhood hero. I mean, dream, really. So these guys, you know, you play every day, to every weekend, to get to that opportunity to play in the grand final. And, you know, the previous year I played 20 games in a row and got dropped for the first final and missed out on our first premiership, and I won. I was the emergency. I did the whole grand final parade
everything.
warmed up before the game, and looking around, making sure there's no, well, I wasn't making sure there's any injuries out there.
Trying to trip
that up. Yeah. No, they're all good. They're all good.
Sorry, Yaka.
Yeah, that's right. Virtually. And then, go back in, put your suit and tie on, go back into the crowd and watch the boys have a great win. And that sort of, I think that really, to this day, steered me into, I had to work harder on my game. You know, yes, it's, as we know, it's good enough to have the talent, but you're not going to work hard behind the closed doors. Well, then you're not going to get far, you know. So that was sort of where I was lacking in a way. Yes, I was talented and had all the skills in the world, but I wasn't probably the best prepared or the most dedicated footballer at the time. And yeah, I had to work hard, and you know, Acker and Vossi and Leper took me under their wing during the preseason, you know, at end of 01, and 02 come around, and yeah, it was great, and got the reward in the end, won a premiership. And I had two young kids at the time with my wife Chantelle, and we made the biggest move of our life, I think. Was a, to this day now, I still think, you know, was that the right move in terms of my football career? Maybe not, but in terms of my family and having my kids back home in Perth and playing footy with Freo, and looking back now, it's probably the best thing I did.
Yeah, awesome. And 2002 also coincided with a sixth in the Brownlow behind some of your teammates. So clearly the penny dropped, I guess, over that pre-season, and had a great year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I missed the first six rounds that year too through injury. So if I would have played the whole year, it could have been a chance, Barrett.
Yeah, take back his medal. Yeah, cheers.
And six doesn't do it just as well. It's kind of equal fourth. I went.
Yeah, that's right.
Just search it. 25 votes, 21, yeah. 17, and you had 16.
There was a couple of games I was thinking, hang on a minute, I've got 22 and 4 goals, I need a vote. Yeah, no, look, that was a bit surreal. We didn't obviously go to the Brownlow because we were playing the grand final of the week. So we had the function at the club at the Gabba, and Simon Black was the favourite. Mm. And I started to steal some votes, and everyone's looking at me going, "What are you doing, mate?"
I'm thinking, "What am I doing? What's Simon doing?"
I'm like 21. I'm sitting there nice and quiet and shy, going, "Just I don't want to. Just give a vote to Blackie. We're going this way." So yeah, after that, it was all good though. So.
Yeah, nice.
Did notice that you said Lee Matthews was the GOAT there. That's a big call.
Absolutely.
You reckon?
Yeah. Mate, not one of the greatest player of all time.
You're going to call him the GOAT?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, 300 games, 900 goals, midfield forward,
probably,
not bad.
Probably does it. Probably
five,
gets it done.
Yeah. Five premierships, I think. Yeah, so he's, as a player, and then, you know,
obviously great
four
coach.
As a coach. Yeah, yeah, so it's not bad.
Big lethal.
Give me someone else to break that, then let me know who it is.
Absolutely. good luck as well. Good luck.
Now, looking at your time at Freo, we've obviously shared a little bit of that time, but and there's a few good characters amongst that. Who stands out in your mind as one of the most memorable teammates?
The most memorable teammates, bro. You know, you can't pick them, can I? You know, honestly, you have your moments, but look, if I'm going to pick anyone, you can't go past the Wiz.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
On the field, off the field, the Wiz is the Wiz, as we all know. And great bloke, and still a great mate. And you know, he's back in Melbourne living with the family, and you know, and I think he loves it over there. He's a bit of a quiet guy too, you know, as you know. So in terms of the media type way, but he's not quiet face to face with the boys, you know. He's the main man. So
you both shared six seasons together. Obviously coming across. What did you think of Dave when you first kind of laid eyes on him?
He was silky.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was definitely, and still is silky, just quietly.
Oh, you hope so.
What are you, 36 now?
Almost.
36 and still leading the best in Cherus and, you know, up there, mate. It's just great. Easy. But like, look, I think, and look, Barrow, if any footy player would want to model themselves on not just the footy side of things, but the way Barrow goes about it, you definitely have to look at what he's done. You know, not just, you know, on the footy field, but off the park, you know, rehab, recovery, you know, not going out, having a good time with the boys, but being really sensible, which is great. But it's paid off, you know, 36 and still playing the game of footy, and hopefully you still got a couple of years left, mate.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I'll get you to talk to Bally on your way out. Cheers, mate.
Yeah. But yeah, look, and you can just see it from day one when he walked in the door, and you know, he used to have that ripped body. He's still pretty got it, Barry. He's one of those blokes that
sloppy rig, mate.
You feel a bit.
You heard it.
You know those blokes. You feel you work your butt off, and you still can't get that body.
Yeah.
You could be as fit as you can be. You go get your skin folded, you're 48 or 50. How does that work? And look at Barra. He's like,
am I blushing? Am I blushing? Oh,
you've brought on the wrong person again. He's pumping him up. Mate. He doesn't need it. Look at him. But
I have to. Bloody,
you blokes would have lined up on each other a little bit at training or anything like that every now and then. Who won the battles then? Just maybe a little bit of one-on-one in the square or anything like that? Or
I might have got him early, but I think after the 1 year, you might have got me after that.
So. Nah, it was a little bit. Yeah, we'll get onto it a little bit in a moment, but Des was spent a bit of time in the rehab room as well, which kind of took away a bit from his on-field training for it with us. But now you mightn't have heard, but Griff's been really raising the bar with some of the research and intel he's gathered on our past guests. So he's inspired me. He's inspired me. So this week I've reached out to some of our past teammates and asked them for their recollections and stories of the great Des Headland. And I'll kick us off with this, but from Michael Johnson, in his words, DJ is probably the best boxer he's ever seen come through the footy club.
There we go.
You claim that?
Oh, mate, it's hard to claim that. Come on.
Don't mind throwing the gloves.
You'd be good on the pads. When you Springer said you weren't.
Springer
still talks about it.
I grew up, I love my boxing from old man, so it's definitely a passion of mine. But this day and age, mate, I might do one round, I'm done.
That's all you need, mate. One hit, that's all you need all the time.
Yeah, no, good mate of mine, Daniel Dawson, owns the Legends Academy in North Perth here, and I try and pop in every now and then when I can, but there's a lot of young kids coming through now that are pretty good, so I just sort of step back and just hit the pad when I have to and then go sit on a bike for the next hour.
Well, from another bloke who wasn't very good at boxing, Paul Duffield, He remembers there was a time when he punched Des in the nose while boxing and then proceeded to run around the ring for the next 3 minutes to try and avoid getting bashed. No. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we used to get the young boys in and do a bit of sparring session, and myself and Groves, even Wiz particularly, weren't able to hit them back. So, we're just moving around and just get the boys' confidence, within themselves and in terms of just getting their foot moving working and, throw the jab out there when they can. It was probably me not being quick enough to move my head a bit, and Duffy being a bit of a fast jab on him. So, I think a bit of blood came out, and I did try and get him back, but he did run off, which is
coward.
That's all right. No, he's right.
So you mentioned a couple of other handy boxers in your time there. Yeah. Anthony Grover.
Yeah, Groves was good. Groves, I don't know where Jono said I was the best, but Groves was, he could throw him, and he's 6'4".
He's a big man,
big and powerful. Big unit.
Yeah, he could have been a good heavyweight boxer, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, and MJ's also sent through that you were scared of flying. Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah, no, especially early days, you used to hate flying, absolutely. And Johnny used to always sit next to me and hold my hand at the time. And, I got it. I don't know where I got it from, but there's a moment there. I spoke to a few people about it, and I'm better now with work and so forth. So I've got to fly quite a bit, so. I have overcome that fear, this quality barrier, because I'm up in the front now instead of
pointy end of the plane.
Well, John,
you
had
to get a bit shaky, bit of turbulence. So you can't find me one person in the world that will sit there and enjoy the turbulence. Yeah. So I can't stand it. No. Shaking a bit.
Yeah, it's more the up and down side of things. So, but yeah, look, everyone has their fears, but I've overcome. My wife is terrible now. So I think I've given it to her and I'm okay. So
pass it on.
Yeah.
So Jono said you used to sit there white knuckled on the armrest, head back, and everyone thought you were meditating.
I was trying to sleep. I did. So I used to see someone do some meditation at times, and when times needed it, and off I went. So
Jono sitting next to you talking about aircraft investigation.
Yeah, always. Right? Yeah. Something happens. So what's that red button over there for? We sit in the exit rows, and it's like, I was like, no, I was still in the aisle because I don't have to open the hatch. little stupid shit like that.
Anyway, that's the way to go. that's the way to do it. Another one from Roger Hayden I've delved into a little bit. Just the one saying, you is a horse. Yeah. Is that one of your favourite sayings that Roger would have known? So
I use a horse,
horse.
Just means you're deadly. You're good, you're horse,
Would you say it would? Would Dave be horse or not really?
He's horse.
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fair enough.
You got some work to do there,
you got a bit more to go, Griffin.
It's all right. I'm working. Didn't ask about me, man. Don't worry about it.
You're nearly there.
I'm far from it.
You're nearly there. As my young boy said, you stopped Buddy from kicking 10 or 12 that day. Right. So that was good. Yeah.
That's all right. On me
but, mate, you would look back on that another 15 years and go, geez, I played one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
Your game went to a whole other level after that. So. And you played well. Good work.
Got to post it.
Should give him to sign it.
Yeah. Actually, I asked him as well, but
those boots come through yet?
No, not yet. Hasn't signed the boots for me. Anyway, before you came back home, it was announced that you were coming home. There was a number 11 available at the club, and our old mate Roger Hayden, he was eyeing it off. Yeah. He wanted it bad as well, but they reserved it for you. And poor old Rogie stuck with 43.
I felt bad. I felt 43, bad. 43,
like 43, yeah. 11's a great number. It's, yeah. There's a lot of good numbers out there. They're all good numbers. 43 is pretty high. Like,
it's a high he's number.
He's still flat about it.
But Rog had, the number one was available, number three was available. So he had some good numbers to choose
choices,
from.
Yeah.
But he stuck, he wanted to make it his own. I think he did, Rog. You
I
know
certainly did, yeah.
Yeah, the artful dodger out of the back line. He was a smooth
player.
That's
a smooth mover.
He was a smooth mover.
That's silky. Silky
and
smooth.
Unfortunately, injuries cut him down earlier than expected as well, and he could have been he was a superstar. He could have been absolutely one of the greatest champions of the game if his body
got to be the worst part of sport, injuries.
Absolutely.
Shocking.
But number 11, yes. So I was like, well, Dale Kickers, both our family, so I was sort of like, well, how do I get that number? Because I know Freo are going to retire. And I was like, oh, if I come back, I want to get number 11. Yeah. So I want to wear it. And unfortunately, I thought I was going to play a game 1 year with him as well, but then he retired. As soon as I announced I was coming home, he retired.
He got scared.
And I was like, oh, God. But we got to play in the game in 03, an Indigenous All-Star game against Essendon in Darwin. Dale had his sort of last hurrah, and that was special. So.
Yeah, nice.
But I couldn't wear number 11 that day. I was all about to wear number 5. So.
Is that what at Brisbane, number 5?
Number one. Yeah, so.
Huge. Number one, pick one. Yeah, back to number 11. Dog. Crikey.
Yeah. I thought I'd be double the player at Freo, so I went number 11, but didn't happen. didn't quite get that far.
I like that. Now, we've mentioned injuries, part of the game, but you worked through your fair share. Luke McFarlane sent through that you're a training rehab beast. You used to destroy yourself in the rehab room?
Well, I had to because I couldn't get on the field. I was unfortunate that it happens to everyone. So I didn't realise until I weighed, I was both kneecaps. I had bipolar patella, so I born with four kneecaps, two on each knee. So I weighed, I cracked that one, missed about half a year. And then, you know, it's like when you miss footy, you're always doing a soft tissue, trying to get back in on there again. So that was out. And then 2009, I did the right one, but that's still in there, and ended up that being the cause of my injuries and not getting back on the park. I think I played 12 games, so I played 150th game. I think it was around 2008, and I finished with 166 at the end of 16 more games, and at the end of 2010. So it was it was tough, frustrating, because you play most of your career not injured, and you're averaging 15 to 20 games a year, and then playing 3 or 4 a year.
And blokes like Dave rock up.
It runs up, doesn't
360 straight. And you go,
what did you get to in the end? What did you get to in the end?
124 from debut.
124, was it? Yeah.
From debut, was it?
And then I was sick.
Never got dropped.
Oh. No, there was. I almost did once, but didn't manage to avoid the axe. But yeah, and then I got sick against, I think it was the Bulldogs that Eddie had.
Missed on sickness.
At Hubble Stadium now. Yeah, which was flattening, especially looking back on
it. You would have been in and out a few times at Brisbane, getting drops.
Oh, early days, yeah. I think I remember debut round 13 in 99 against Sydney at the SCG. Big Plugger was playing. And that was good fun.
Yeah.
And then the following, I played, did all right, kicked a couple of goals. And then the next game was against North Melbourne, the MCG. Don't think I got a touch. I played about 10 minutes and that was it.
Yeah.
Back in those days, no rotations. You're on the bench, you're off.
Dressing down on, cheers. So
that was, and then my next game, my last game of the year was round 19 against Freo at the Gabba. Actually did all right that day, kicked three goals and had a few touches and then got dropped the following week.
Oh,
that was it.
Come on,
that was it for 99. So round I go for 2000. So. Yeah, but you're right, in and out for a while.
I only said that just because Dave's never experienced it. I just thought, you've got to experience it, mate. It's a good part of your development, you know.
Yeah,
he's too developed now. He's missed it.
He's special, this guy. That's what I was
saying. Speak to JL about dropping in a few weeks.
Never.
Lukey Mack also mentioned that you're an elite fat side kick. Do you want to talk us through what a fat side kick is?
Yeah, so it's obviously you're running down, you know, one side of the wing and you're over to the other side of the pocket or into the half forward area. So I used to love kicking across my body, left or right, just quietly. I learned that from Macca. I remember, I'll tell you a quick story on that one. So I remember it was 99 preseason and a few of the boys, this is at Brisbane, and a few of the boys are trying to go on their left instead of straightening up. And Lee's like, no one in this competition kick left and right foot over 40 metres near the target. Macca's going, yeah, I can, Lee. Lee's like, go on, show us. And Macca went, bang, bang. There's, besides Acker, no one else can. So he's all straightened up. But yeah, look, used to love watching, you know, those boys play. And Simon Black used to always have that hook as well. So I sort of learned how to do that. And yeah, you know, that 40, 50 fat side kick was, you know, the Lukey Mack and Pav and Wiz used to love hitting up there, which is good. So,
it's the money kick. We could use that. We could use that these days.
Typically where a lot of spaces as well in the forward line in particular. So, yeah, very valuable. You also mentioned that you were captain of the Brothers. Would you like to explain that?
That was a camp, eh? The Brothers camp. Yeah, that was a good one. That was actually over at Wajimup. That was the first time I ever went there. I was as a kid growing up, I was always told never to go to Rottnest because of the story. And yeah, so that was a bit different in that sort of way. But it was my sort of first sort of, okay, we got a group together, a bit of a team bonding session, and we were the brothers, and we dominated that camp for the whole 2 days. And we won everything. It was good. So best dressed. You know, we won all the running, the swimming, you name it. So
it was a bit of an amazing race setup, wasn't
That's
it?
Right.
Where you moved around a different. Yep. Yeah.
So that was, yeah, that was good. And it was all about, you know, if I had another name now, we'd call it, you know, the Horses, but I changed it to the Brothers. So. Had our own song. We made up, well, not our own song, but a song from, what's their Rumpy Band called Black Fella, White Fella.
I remember that.
It doesn't matter what your colour, right, as long as you're a good fella. Because every time we went to an event, we would start singing that. Yeah.
We all had to do, a song each group.
Yeah, so that was good. Good. Anyway, that was the Brothers, mate.
Yeah, beautiful. I remember our song. I had Lukey Mack and Robbie Hadrill as a part of my group. And so Lukey had his guitar, and we did a Justin Timberlake song. And without rehearsing it, Robbie Hadrill just jumped out in the middle of the song and started busting out some moves, some seriously good moves. And, it was so funny. I remember that.
Oh, good, those camps. I used to like those and get the boys just in different side of each other, you know. Yeah, and you had to pick boys that you sort of don't know and
wouldn't normally mix with.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's the best thing about it, you know.
Best way to bond, I reckon.
Absolutely.
Break the ice. But another one from Simon Eastor at Brisbane. I used to call you the king of the goal square. Can you elaborate on this? Obviously, like to get on the end of a Joey DeGoose or?
Yeah, well, mate, when you got Simon Black and Michael Voss and
Ake hitting it on left and right from 40s.
They're the workhorses inside, you know, so they'd be like 5 years at the moment and Barrett as well. But I could always get on the end of them, so I used to make sure I run over the top in the goal square and off I went.
It's always going
to
be
about
the king of the goal
square. People say, oh, and then I went one out at times as well, which was good. And told Vossi to head up a bit more higher and give me one out, and he's just looking at me and go, mate, piss off, get over there, mate.
John O'Brown, up you go, mate.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, you're right. Mate, used to love it. So you just know when the boys are going to win the ball. You know, when you're in a good team like that, you play right. Your role. And if I was on the wing or even half back flank, I was always running forward.
He's going to hit me, I'm on here.
Yeah, no, that always happened. Absolutely. So.
Last one from Ishi was called you no legs. Said you used to love the upper body, but never always miss squat day or chicken legs or what's that?
Yeah, I got chicken legs, but
they'd still be strong, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, look, I actually had the record at one stage. I'm sure 160 squat. I don't know what it's like now, but I did have chicken legs, but I had a strong ass.
Yeah.
You know, so from my hips down.
Big glutes.
Yeah, that was it. No glutes, no calves.
Nothing.
Just knobby knees and.
Just corking blokes.
There was one, like, Deion Woods was worse than me in terms of our skinny ankles and calves. And when me and Woods were getting the massage, Wiz would always come and go, oh, stop massaging your shin bones, boys. Get off the table. You got no calves. So, he's right there, EC. That's why. That's probably why I want number 11, you know, legs 11.
Yeah, that's all right. Oh, legs 11, not mine, no. That's good. Obviously, you're a good fella. So I've got to hear that you just drive Sonny to training every day. Or how long did that go for, and when that begin?
I started when he got drafted. I was trying to get into real estate. It's coming towards the end of my career, and so I moved out to Allenbrook area because of a big development, you know. So I was a bit of a strategic type move, and obviously Sonny was out of Midvale and gets drafted. We know the family connection, so I was driving that way. So I'd cruise over to Roy Highway, and off I go, duck off down Morrison Road, and grab Sonny. And an hour later, we're in the car, and you know what Sonny's like. Yeah. That's every day.
Would have been
and I'm 5:30 in the morning, 6 in the morning, so you're just waking up. I just need a coffee, and he's there, like, chirping the whole way. And then you have a big training session afterwards, and you're absolutely bugging, and he's still there chirping the whole way. You know?
What's a young Sonny like? Just even more chirpy than what he is now?
I don't think he's changed, to be honest, which is a good thing. Sonny, he's just, he loved his music, and we had a lot of, you know, country, western, and also, you know, a bit of rap and hip hop, and you name it, every single song was
would have been a good drive.
Yeah. Good drive. He also had good yarns.
30-centimeter plaited rat tail back then, didn't he?
He did. And he used to, there was a YouTube video of him doing some rap dancing too. We used to try and get up on video with the boys at times, and he just get up and start doing it. He didn't care, you know.
He's got no shame.
No, he doesn't.
Couldn't care less.
He's very talented.
When I said he was coming, you were coming on, he said that he actually was better on the pads than you.
He throws it all right, Sonny. He's a small man syndrome. Just keep him away.
You can throw him well.
When someone has to say they're better than someone else on the pads, you know they're trying to
Not much weight.
Sure, you never say how good you are. You have to. It's up to other people that judge you, you know. So just tell Sonny you can't promote yourself.
He's always good till he gets thrown
out. We all know Sonny can throw him.
There's one man that can pump up his own tyres, though. It's probably Sonny, to be honest.
Yeah. I think Sonny could be a good boxer out now, but not obviously a footy career, but in terms of if he wanted to be a full-time boxer back in the day, he would have went far, absolutely.
Yeah, he throws them very well. Now, we'll move into a segment, Desi, we call Quick Hands. So I'll fire some questions at you. We're looking for sharp, quick answers, and we'll just pump through them. So your first car?
Oh, a VS station wagon.
Nice.
Maroon.
Oh, very good.
I bought it to go to the Gold Coast all the time with the wife, you know, and try to surf, but I couldn't. Anyway.
Your most used emoji?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how to use emojis, but if I want to say one, probably a thumbs up. Saves writing everything back, don't you?
If you had to eat one thing for every meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
One thing.
One meal, yep.
One thing. One food, just one thing only.
Like one meal.
Oh, yeah, one meal.
For the rest
of
your life.
Okay. That's a good one. I'd have to say probably spaghetti bolognese.
You were destroying that toasty when you walked in.
So. That was good, actually.
The last text you sent, who was it to?
Brett.
Nice.
I'm at the cafe.
Which teammate used to leave the locker room in the biggest mess?
Oh, which teammate? Oh, Groves was pretty dirty.
Yeah.
He was number 14, just down the road. So, yeah, he was, anyway.
Where'd you used to sit in team meetings?
I used to always try and go down the back early, but yeah, you show some leadership as you get a bit older and yeah, down the front you go.
Did you have a regular sit next to partner?
I didn't hang around any of the boys, any of the brother boys, because I just you stay away from them because you want to concentrate and actually get something out of the team meetings. Yeah. So I'd try and just get on my own. I can't think of anyone particular. No.
Okay. This one's for Griff, and he'll judge you harshly on this. Coffee of choice?
Ooh.
Latte with one.
Ooh, we might come
not
back to that.
Put sugar.
Who's your favourite day current Freo player?
Oh, that's a tough one. No, Sunny. Besides you, Barry, but yeah, definitely Sunny.
Who's your favourite current day player across the league?
Shea Bolton.
If you have to choose Jeff Farmer or Michael Walters to play alongside, who would you choose?
Oh. Well, I played alongside the Wiz, so I've got to choose the Wiz. I think Sunny, we might have got one game together, maybe, but look, I'll pick both of them, but yeah, the Wiz.
And did you ever done the long sleeves in your playing days?
I don't think I did it in the AFL, no. I might be corrected wrong if I did it for one or two games, maybe at the Gabba, but not the Gabba at the Brisbane, but definitely in the State Games. I wore it for the first time. I don't know why. The Shock and Carnival.
Yeah, nice.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah, the lesson learned.
So biggest mess Groves was. He was a bit of
yeah, bit messy. Big Groves, you know. Goes around there, come boys, you know. Groves, you know, he goes. Yeah. That's how he is, mate. Yeah. That's right. We'll pick up tomorrow.
No wonder.
Big Tony.
And the only thing that stumped me, mate, was a latte with wine. You can't be putting sugar in your coffee, can you?
Yeah, I do for my latte, but like I obviously in the business world now, so a lot of coffee, mate. So sometimes long mac topped up is a nice one. So,
there we go.
Yeah,
like,
there it is.
All depends, mate. If I have too much milk early, I'll try not to get as much milk later.
Probably fair. Anyway, what are you up to now after footy? So
we've got an occupational health business. So do all the pre-employed medicals for the mining, construction, and the civil sector, and the government as well. So where you return to work, injury management. So that's going well. We've got soon to be 6 clinics. So that's it's going well.
Yeah.
Me and Big Clinton Wolf used to play it for her back in there. He was an original docker. So, 4 years now we set that up. So.
Yeah, beautiful. You're also an ambassador for Medalla.
Yeah.
You can talk about that.
Yeah, so Medalla is just over 350 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids in the scholarships in the private schools here in Perth, from all over WA up through the Kimberley, down through the Great Southern. Kids get opportunity to come down and board at, Hale or Wesley or Guildford Grammar or St. Mary's College with the girls. So, just gives them an opportunity in life. And in terms of getting a good education is a key, as we know. So, bring them down to boarding school and what they learn and what they can achieve can go back to community and become really good, whether it's business or health or government industries, and give back.
Yep, true.
We love our life here after footy on the Old Bull Young Buck podcast. And Dave, after you sent me in a bit of mail from here, we've actually got a bit of Barra. We know that he finished his study as a marine biologist, etc. Is that what it was, Dave?
Yep.
So someone sent in a
oh, very nice.
A nice, not a photo. You can just have a look at your show the camera, but yeah, there's a nice bit of beach in the background for you, you know, being in the
pretty close. It's pretty good.
It's not far off, is it?
Marine scientist graduated February 2019. Yeah,
so what
very
are you gonna,
nice.
What are you going to get? You're going to get into that industry after the footy? Or
yeah, possibly. Yeah. I'm at the moment trying to get something published in a journal out of my honours thesis. So just going through that process. So we'll see how we go. Do you like that? Is it pretty
going on there? It's just
that's stress with dealing old, with you, mate.
Getting this done. Must be stress. Stress would agree if make yourself look that old. But anyway, nice. Anyway, it's good.
Oh, Griff, I'm glad you brought up the off-field achievements. It seems quite topical at the moment. And in the flavour of people contributing to our podcast, I've been contacted a young fella, Ewan Foles. He's released a book previously, Zach's Game Plan. Here's the book, obviously. Ewan was spent a lot of time in PCH as a young child and was a part of the Starlight Foundation there. And through that connection with the football club, has become an avid Dockers supporter. Now, through some of my hometown connections back in Seymour, Victoria, I've actually found out that he's releasing a new book, My Family, My Life, this Friday. So I encourage everyone to get around that, mate. And yeah, well done again, Ewan. We really, really love hearing from budding authors and people out there making a go of it. So all the best, mate. We hope you have a really successful book launch. So now this week, our Dogs Preview. So the second instalment of the Sedug Nichols round for us this week. That's a big week for WA football. Mm. We're also hosting the Dreamtime Clash on Saturday night with the Long Walk. You'll be a part of that, Des.
Yeah, so there's a bit of whisper around it, trying to get as many pass players as they can do the long walk and into the ground. And yeah, I think it's going to be an amazing game on Saturday night. And
yeah,
try and get the whole wider community involved and now share the Dreamtime at the G game. Now it's called Dreamtime at the Derby, which is Derby Yuriga means Swan River. So
yeah,
nice. A few emails have been coming up with that name, which is great.
Beautiful. So, spread it. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, so we encourage as many as they can to get there for that Saturday night game, but then follow up obviously for ours on the Sunday afternoon. Griff, you going to suit up this week or are you going to have another rest?
Should be back. See how we go with the Carvey. But, yeah, fingers crossed. Get through training. So, should be good. Des, you coming?
I'll be there. Absolutely. Yeah.
You get too many games?
I went to the Sydney game for the first game this year, yeah. So, I try and get to about 3 or 4 a year if I can.
Yeah.
I'll be there this weekend.
Good. You got good seats?
I'm not sure where I am this week. Well, I don't know where I am, but I don't know. I'm in the President's Lounge on Sunday. So.
Oh, hang on. Hang in front of the plane. President's Lounge.
Suit and tie, so we'll, looking forward to it actually. So I might just take the tie off after a little bit.
Yeah, nice.
Relax, watch the games.
A few beers.
Well, yeah, hopefully we can have a better outing. Any feedback for the boys for this week in your jumper?
Mate, just no 0-7 start and kick straight. Simple as.
Simple as that, really.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well, that about wraps us up. Thanks again, Des, coming on. Was that okay? Griff wasn't too nasty.
Hey, it was
nasty.
Good. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah,
well done, mate. No, you're taking over, soon.
Yeah, probably just talking you on too much, to be honest. So
I don't choose our guests. I don't tell them what to say. They just
So you claim, mate. So you claim. But anyway, thanks again, Des, mate. It's an honour to have you on, and privilege actually. So thank you very much. And it's funny hearing some insights and what you got up to. But again, very proud to have you on, mate. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah, thanks, mate. And tickets are on sale now for our game on the weekend. So as we said, we want to pack that for our second Sedug Nichols round game of the year, and we'll get a win in Desi's purple jumper. So thanks again. Well done, mate.
Good man.
Cheers.